on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. You're listening to Invest Talk. As we usually do on Friday, I'd like to give you a little taste of what our weekly premium newsletter has in it. And each week, I offer a market summary to capitalize the week's activity. And this week, we had very little. I said that we had very little economic data coming out of Washington. But we did have some important things coming out of both Europe and China. Europe, because of its QE and what that's doing to stock prices, or what it may do to stock prices. And not just in Europe. I mean, in the United States as well. And then China, what's happening there, that housing, building, surplus craziness they've had for the last few years is catching up with them now. They have huge debt, prices are falling, and the Chinese government are trying to make it not as big a problem as it looks to be. And they can cover it up quite a bit, because they do have a huge surplus to work with. So you can do that, but... So I talked about what these things are going to have an impact on our market this year. What's going to happen? And, of course, one of the most popular features in our newsletter is stock idea section. We give a couple of ideas. This week was a couple of tech stocks. The portfolio management section, I talked about experts. And you know how I complain that they're always wrong. And I say that they're always wrong even in the newsletter. But I also say that they do have an important role to play. You know, you can't just ignore them. They do work hard to try to figure out what the expected sales and earnings for companies might be. And we meaning the public, kind of rely on that information, even though we know it's probably going to be wrong. It's how wrong will it be? How wrong? So, the biggest problem with them is their upgrades and downgrades. Do you ever notice that these experts upgrade a stock just because the stock price moves up? Or they downgrade a stock just because the stock price moved down? The stock price movement up and down should have nothing to do with the quality of that company. So why are you upgrading and downgrading it just because of the stock price? This is what the experts do. I don't think you should pay attention to them in that regard. And of course, wrapping it up, I give it on the Consumer Watch section there. I talk about mobile technology continues to grow and the hackers that are attacking it. Be very careful. Now, if you'd like to try the newsletter for a month, there's no risk at all. You know, it comes out every Friday, and it's $9.99 a month. You don't have to pay it for a year in advance. You can pay a month at a time, and you can cancel any time you want. Okay, let's get to work answering questions. Our number is 888-99-CHART. I hope you'll use it and give me a call today. Let's take this question from our 24-hour listener line.
Good afternoon. This is Matt in Hilliard, Ohio, listening on iTunes. I really enjoy your program. I agree with most of what you say about the whole life insurance. I've always been taught to not buy it, that it's a big ripoff for the premiums. Now, I did see what might be an exception to it was that whole life insurance, if you pay the premium, you could put in certain investment vehicles, you could put the money into stocks or other investments that are likely to grow quickly. You can, a self-directed kind of whole life insurance where you have your own, you can self-direct what you put in the whole life insurance. And then when you pass away, it will be tax-free to your heirs, or even possibly tax-free to yourself if you use it in the correct way. But I was wondering if you ever heard anything like that. Thanks for your time. Have a great day. Bye.
Yeah, and that's not really a benefit. It really isn't, because if you take the whole life premium and then you get a premium quote for a term life and put the difference in an investment vehicle, you do the same thing. And you say that when you die, the inheritors don't have, it's tax-free to the inheritors. Well, all life insurance policy benefits are tax-free to the whoever the beneficiary is. And if you have stocks, when someone else inherits them, they get what's called the step-up value of those stocks. So they don't have to pay the capital gains that you would if you were alive and you sold them. At the date of your death, the value of your stocks at that date is their cost basis of the person who inherited its cost basis from that day forward. So the tax-free part really doesn't, you know, it's not a sales point, even though they like to say it is. It's really not. I'm not too keen on life insurance salesmen, annuity salesmen. They hit the highlights, but they don't tell you everything. I don't care for that. Okay, why don't you talk about money? Why don't you? Do you shy away from the subject because you think you don't know much? Well, the truth is you're wrong. You probably know a lot more than you think. And that's going to be one of our talking points today. The United States is buying 5 million barrels of oil for our strategic petroleum reserve. Did you know that? I'm going to give you some facts about that strategic petroleum reserve. Do you know when it was started? Do you know which president started it? Ways to retire at 55. Everybody wants to retire early, even though I'm not keen on this retirement early stuff. But if you want to do it, you can do it. Of course, you got the earlier start, the better. But you still can do it if you're starting a little bit later. So how do you do that? And I want to talk about why America's full of slackers and deadbeats who won't work. Now, you know how you can make statistics say almost anything you want? And this is a big statistic that's bandied about. The statistics of unemployment, people not working, people working, people not looking for jobs, people looking for jobs. I think we need to get some perspective on this. And this article that I was reading is very good at giving you the whole picture and not just part of the picture. And that's really what we need, is the whole picture. You know, you can say stuff like, well, over half the Americans in the United States don't work. That's true. Only about 46% of Americans work right now. And we have to support the other half. That's true. But that's very misleading, too. Is that a lot, 46%? Do you know? In historical terms, is that a lot? This is what the things it can be misleading. You can take statistics and say whatever you want. So I'm going to make an effort to make the statistics make sense and clarify what really, really is important as to are there a lot of deadbeats or not? Because I hear both sides of the story, and I just want to try to give you facts, just the facts. Really, isn't that what you want? What are the facts? Not some point of view from somebody. That's what we're going to talk about. Of course, I'd rather talk about what's ever on your mind. What do you want to talk about? Joe in Oceanside. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Steve. I called you regarding an insurance question, and I'm calling you again because I have another one. Not pertaining to me, but one of my wife's coworkers. She's 21 years old. She has one child. She's a single mother that's 2 years old. She was speaking to a guy that he was trying to sell her universal life insurance. And so I wanted to get your take on what you think will be best for her to get.
I would not get universal life insurance if I was her. I would not. In my personal opinion, she should get a quote on the universal life insurance, okay?
It's a $500,000.
Okay, let's say it's $500,000. Her premium is going to be, I don't know, $200 a month. Do you know what it is?
It's $107 for the first year.
$107 for a month, the first year?
Uh-huh.
Now she should go out and get a term life policy quote. Term, maybe from a different guy.
Okay.
Term life insurance policy quote for the same $500,000.
Okay.
And that's probably going to be $15 a month, by the way. She's 21.
Yep.
That could be $10 a month. What she should do then is take the difference, the $90 per month difference, and just start putting it into an IRA and start investing it. And she will make a lot more money doing that than she would make using the universal life policy. They sell it to you saying it's an investment.
IRA? A Roth IRA or a regular IRA?
At 21, I do a Roth IRA. And she'll make a lot more money over the life of that insurance product than she ever would buying the Universal Life.
Would you be opposed to opening up a mutual fund like you suggested?
No, I would definitely suggest that she do that, yes.
Well, what kind of mutual fund? I know you said no-load.
Always look for your no-load funds, just a no-load mutual fund. She can get it at, she can go to Schwab and open up a Schwab One account. She can do a RIDEX. She can go to Vanguard, different places. All no-load funds. Joe, appreciate the call.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you very much for the call. Now, I have regular checkups for retirement portfolios. I do them in my office. I do them all day long. I do them in person. And, you know, I do them for people. And, of course, one of the reasons I do is because some of these people become clients. But I also do it just to see if I can help somebody, point them in the right direction. And so I do these things all the time. So I commit at least 2 days a month in sitting down with individual listeners in the Bay Area. So if you want to reserve your time, just go to investtalk.com, click on schedule a meeting. Our staff, my staff, will get right back to you and set up a time.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Okay, 888-99-CHART is my number, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Scott in Temecula. Hi, Scott, how you doing?
I am wondering about a 529 plan for my child.
Okay.
And I was under the understanding that there was another program that you could do. What my concern is if my child decides not to go to college, what happens to that money? And then is there another plan to where he could use it for, like, in a home and or college, whatever it is that he chooses?
Yeah, very good question, Scott. A 529 plan is a state-sponsored plan. Each state has its own 529. Scott, are you considering one to California or Illinois or where?
I am in California, and I can purchase anywhere, correct?
Yes, you don't have to buy a California plan. Matter of fact, California plan is not the best.
That's right.
Illinois is the reason why I even mentioned Illinois, because I know they have a good plan.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about the difference between a 529 plan and what's called a Coverdell IRS, IRA. It used to be called the educational IRA. It's called a Coverdell IRA or Coverdell ESA. They're trying to make it confusing.
Uh-huh.
But just think about it. It's called a Coverdell, and it's an IRA-type plan.
Okay.
Now, Coverdell, you could put up to $2,000 a year in it for your child, which is much more limited than a 529. 529, you could put up a lot more money.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there's that issue. But a 529 plan has to be used for accredited college education only. A Coverdell can be used for any educational program. Your child is a boy or girl?
Boy.
And he wanted to go to beauty school?
Yeah.
You could use the Coverdell money for that. Wanted to go to a truck driving school? You can use a Coverdell money for that.
Gotcha.
But you couldn't use the 529 because that's for an accredited college. We're talking about Berkeley or UCLA or somebody.
Right.
You know,
what
difference.
If we did a 529 plan and he decided that he did not want to go to college at all?
Okay.
What happens to the account?
Okay, then the 529 plan has to be rolled over to somebody else to be used for college. You can take the money, but you will be penalized.
Probably a great deal.
Yeah, you do not want to do that. Okay, Scott, the best way to do this is have three children and take one 529 plan.
Right.
If the first one doesn't use it, roll it over to the second one. If the second one doesn't use it, roll it over to the third one. Are you going to have more than one child?
I would like to. I'm trying to talk my wife into it, but maybe I can use this as a hook.
Okay, there you go. I would suggest you start with a Coverdell because you can even use that for, like, elementary school, a private school. You can use it for, like, computers and books.
Okie dokie.
Good luck. And Scott, don't think the laws won't change. There's going to be changes as he gets older and older and older. There'll be changes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, keep track of them.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Scott. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. My number is 888-99-CHART. That's the number of the show. You can reach me anytime, right? And right now will be good. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday. Your money topic on Invest Talk is next. Just give me a call. I'm ready for your call.
InvestTalk is all about above-average investing for the average investor. How do you prepare your retirement plan for a volatile market? Talk about it now, 888-99-CHART. Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. If you live in the Bay Area, save the date, April 25th at the San Jose Hyatt House. It's our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference, The Real Rewards of Global Value Investing. How to find the good buys in foreign, domestic, and emerging markets. Sign up on InvestTalk.com. There's a $10 discount if you sign up by April 20th.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. You're more of a money expert than you think. People don't think they are, but you really are. First, a little bad statistic. In 2014, the Retirement Confidence Survey said 60% of American workers polled had less than $25,000 saved for retirement. Not counting their house. $25,000. 36% saved less than $1,000. That is bad. Now, why do I think, or why are you maybe a better money expert than you think? Well, first of all, you know, most people know the difference between risk and reward. You know, if you buy a lottery ticket, your chances of making it is really slim. You know, when you go to Vegas, the chances of you making money is very slim. You know, the more risk that you take, the chances are much less that you'll make any money. You know, there's the risk versus reward. How much risk? Okay? You also know that when something's really expensive or very expensive, you know that. Even stocks, you even know that. Do you think that Apple is expensive right now or Tesla? I mean, you kind of know how to determine that everybody loves it. If everybody loves something, it's probably expensive. Supply and demand in stocks works just like supply and demand anything else. And you also know when they say, well, you're going to make 50% on your money. You know it's too good to be true. You know it's a lie. You don't have to buy it. These are just very simple concepts that you know. You know that costs of fees and everything in the market is important. You also know, most people know, most reasonable people knows it takes time. It takes time to make money in the market. You got to be patient. Now, so these are some money facts that almost everybody knows. So you can talk to some degree about money. You really can. Now, I also will recommend something that you should read. And now on my website, there are books there that you should read, and that will help educate you. And there's easy books to read and complex books to read. So we'll just start with the easy ones.
Another information source to help you improve your investing skills and gain you some stress-relieving perspective is our KPP Premium Newsletter. It comes out each Friday, and one of the most popular features is our Stock Watch. At least a couple of companies are introduced to you to watch in each edition. To sign up, just go to InvestTalk.com today.
Let's go to Steve in Anaheim. How you doing, Steve?
I have my money in a lot of different places. I have some deferred comp. I have 401ks. Huh? But I also have some money in annuities. And I always hear a lot of the investment programs talking about annuities are not so great. Why they're not so good.
Remember, annuities are an insurance product. They're very complex. They're legalese. If you ever try to read that annuity document, you would probably get lost, okay?
Exactly.
And that works to the insurance company's benefit, obviously, because it is confusing. Attorneys can't figure that darn thing out. So I used to be in the insurance business, Steve. I know what they do. But let's make it simple. Why aren't annuities good? Because I don't like them either. Why? The thing that they hook you on is they guarantee you a return, right? It could be as good as 5, 6, 7% a few years ago. Bad thing about annuities. Here's a couple of things. One, you were required to hold on to them for a certain length of period of time, usually 7 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Number two, if it is an annuity that's tracked to the stock market, do you have choices? Like, can you buy the S&P 500 index or mutual funds or something like that?
I think it is, yes. I'm pretty sure.
So what they do is they give you choices to buy the stock market. But there's fees for this. The annuity, the insurance company charges you a fee. The mutual fund that you're buying charges you a fee. And the annuities are very high. Their fees are very, very high. They're kind of hidden, but they're very high. They also limit your return. You can't make as much as the stock market in 10 years. And the reason why they have holding periods, 10 years, because there's never been a 10-year period in the stock market's history where the stock market has not gone up. They know it's going to go up. That's why they can guarantee you that money. Now, annuities are a tax-deferred instrument. You never use an IRA to buy an annuity because it's already a tax-deferred instrument. But what happens in annuity is you get a false sense of its growth because you don't have to pay taxes. You don't have to pay capital gains taxes until you sell it. When you sell it 10 years from now, all the capital gains that has been built up in that annuity are due. That means your returns, you say, oh, I made 20%. Great. Maybe you only made 10% because you haven't paid the taxes yet.
Oh, gosh.
And you don't know what that tax responsibility is. They don't know that until you sell it. So there's a lot of little negatives when, Steve, you could just go buy an S&P 500 index outside the annuity, and you'll do much better if you held it for the same length of time.
Well, that's thanks why. For the info. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. Annuities, everybody, it's only for special situations, really special situations, that you would want it. And usually that's trying to transfer your money to the next generation. Very, very special. Coming up next half hour, it's tax time. As we all know, it's in the middle of March and the middle of April. April 15 comes around real fast. And, of course, as it's tax time, that means tax scams out there. So what do you watch for? What are you going to watch for? That's in our next half hour on Invest Talk Personal. If you have a question, you know how to reach me, 888-99-CHART.
Listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? How about the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve? The government is adding 5 million barrels of oil to it. Do you know how much is in there already? How about 691 million. And these are 4 underground oil fields in Texas and Louisiana. 691, they're going to add 5 million because the gasoline, the oil is cheap. Makes sense, right? What's the capacity? Remember, it's a 691, you add 5 million, then they're going to be 696. The capacity is 727 million. And the oil is today to $44.84 a barrel. Do you know how much is in a barrel? It's not a 55 barrel drum of oil, 55 gallons. That's when people think of barrels, it's 55 gallons. But when you talk about oil, it's 42 gallons. It's 42 gallons. Who started this strategic oil reserves? What year did it start? Jimmy Carter did in 1980. And why did he do that? Do you remember back then with Iran? Do you remember the Shah was overthrown by the Ayatollah? And they weren't, OPEC, we weren't getting any oil. We had gasoline lines and all these things. And we didn't have the strategic, we didn't have a reserve. That's why I started it. A couple other facts. Do you have 42-gallon barrel of oil makes 20 gallons of gasoline, 11 gallons of diesel, and 4 gallons of jet fuel, and then some other products? That's what it makes. Hey, interesting facts, huh? Factoids. I kind of like that. So, we're very full up on our strategic oil reserves. And they don't release that oil just for any reason. It was, you know, it has to be pretty dramatic for them to release the oil into the public, too. And they don't do that very often. Okay, remember, we love beginner questions. Everyone who listens to this program either is a beginner or was one at that one time. So we welcome your question at 888-99-CHART. Now, what is the question?
I have to say that I'm kind of new to this game. I'm an engineer, so that's kind of what I do. So I was intrigued. I read a year or so ago about option trading.
Okay.
And so I've been studying up on it and doing some, what you know, fake trades, paper trades, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally actually started a margin account,
uh-huh.
a little one, $3,500, you know, just
okay.
as a hobby.
Okay.
I've doubled the money so far, so I figure that's okay on little stuff. However, my concern is, with options, you know, there's quite a bit of trading. And I heard something the other day on your program that concerned me about taxes. Because
yes.
I just have a straight margin account. And, of course, you know, I trade frequently. What do I need to do or know about my taxes?
Almost all that's going to be short-term capital gains and losses. Okay. And as short-term capital gains and losses, you need to track. It's going to be all at your income tax rate. So that $3,500 you made is going to be taxed at whatever income tax bracket you're in.
I guess what I'm concerned about is, you know, there's so many trades, and, of course, the brokerage firm I'm with, you have all the paperwork that
they're
trades
only,
it.
Dan, they're only going to send you what's called a 1099, and that 1099 is not going to suffice for your tax guy. What you need to do is set up a spreadsheet for your buys and sells. Just track every buys and sell post, the date you bought it, the date you sold it, and make a column for short-term capital gains and a column for long-term. And I have a feeling every one of these trades will be under 12 months in duration.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Every one will be a short-term, so you don't have to have a separate column. So every one will be a short-term. And if you just print that spreadsheet out when you get your 1099 from your brokerage firm and attach it and write Schedule A on it, is what I do, by the way. And I put, you know, whatever the gain is, hopefully it's always gains, right? That's what we think, Dan.
Well,
and then put, write Schedule A on the appropriate tax box in your tax return and just put the total number and say, see Schedule A.
My concern was, you know, I started with, say, just $3,500.
Yep.
The minimum amount. If I was to lose money, I would claim that as a loss, and if I gained money, that would be a gain. All this other stuff I was worried about, you know, some trades I made lost, of course, and some mm-hmm. gained. But it's only on the total at the end of the year that you're taxed.
Correct.
Right?
Your losses always offset your gains and vice versa. So you never have to worry about that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call. Time for InvestTalk 101. There are many tools to help you decide how much you'll need to save for various needs. You know, how much money do you need to save? There's tools out there. One is called a ballpark estimate. It's a single-page worksheet created by American Savings Educational Council. Again, it's called ballpark estimate. Same name, and it can help you calculate what you'll need to save each year for retirement. The Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, has a college savings calculator, and Social Security Administration has a benefits calculator. So there's many tools out there. There's mortgage calculators, you all heard of those, savings calculators, and these are all web-based, you know, somewhere out there in the web. There's a lot of them. And if you need a list of these, you send me a note on investtalk.com. Just click Contact Steve or call me, leave a message at 888-99-CHART, and I'll send you where to find them. They're pretty easy. You can almost Google it anywhere. And that's InvestTalk 101. Is there a topic you'd like me to cover? I have a topic someone called in today that wants me to use it, and we'll do that. And that's about ETFs, exchange traded funds. I thought it was a good, he sent me an email, said he wanted to make it a topic if I could on the show, and I will do so before the end of the show, hopefully the end of the day. So if you want to talk about something, let me know.
InvestTalk is your one-hour appointment with the money managers to help you do your retirement right. If you have questions about your 401k, your IRA, or are mutual funds best for you, or should you be thinking about investing in individual stocks? What's the difference between a broker and a portfolio manager? This is your hour. Call in with your question, 888-99-CHART, and get in on InvestTalk.
I had a question for you guys. I'm totally new to this investing thing, and I've been looking around searching on the internet here and there. I just want to know, what do you guys recommend how to get into it, how to put my cash money into the stock market and get things rolling? Thanks for your help, guys.
Okay, yesterday we talked about three inexpensive places that you can go to open up an account. And it was E-Trade, Scottrade, and TD Ameritrade. That you can easily open an account. Some one has no minimum. They have low trading fees. You can open an account, and I would suggest that you start buying the indexes with the ETF, exchange-traded fund, meaning you can buy the Dow 30 stocks by buying the DOW. That's the ETF for the Dow 30. Or the S&P 500 is SPY, or the NASDAQ 100 is QQQ. Those are the basic indexes, and you can start there. Just start slowly buying that over time, and you'll do fine. And this will get you in very quickly. You don't have to have a lot of money. That would be my suggestion. One thing about ETFs is really nice is that you can do different things with them. Most ETFs allow you to have a stop loss. In other words, you can limit your risk by saying, on this ETF, I don't want it to go below this, and I'll be out. Please sell it automatically. You can create a hedge by shorting an ETF. You know, you can short ETFs, and that means you think it's going to go down. But you can also buy ETFs that short the market themselves. You don't have to short it necessarily. You just buy it, and it shorts. Hope that's not confusing. And you can sell puts and calls. Of course, that gets a little bit more difficult. But there's different things you can do with ETFs. They act very much like a stock when they really are not. They are more similar to an index mutual fund, but they're usually not managed by a manager. They're just dumb beasts that hold positions, usually. So there's different things you can do with them, and those are three. And that was submitted to me by a caller, a listener, who wanted me to mention that on the air, thought it would be a good topic, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, do you think America are full of slackers? And I'm going to give you some statistics. 46% of Americans don't work. I'm sorry, only 46% of Americans work. 54% don't. That's a lot, isn't it? See, you can make statistics say anything. For instance, you know, the unemployment rate was high at 10% in 2009, and today it's 5.5%. And that seems like a pretty good reduction. But also, you can say that's a full of baloney. Skeptics say, wait a minute, how's that possible when 93 million Americans have dropped out of the labor market, refusing to work or even looking for a job? Now, that is true, but it's not the whole truth. So what is the unemployment rate? 5.5%? Well, really, if you're counting everybody, the unemployment rate is probably, you know, 35%. Are you going to count everybody? Do you count everybody? Children? Retired people? Is that what you're supposed to count? So what is the real labor force? What is the real unemployment rate? Okay, well, one statistics I'd like to use that gives you a better picture is the is a labor force participation rate. Okay, before the big recession, that rate was 66%. Now, as of February, it was 62.8%. That's a 37-year low. And if you just look at that, you say, oh, man, our economy is stinking because it was 66% of the labor participation rate, and that labor participation rate counts those people that are working age, and it's now only 62% of our labor pool is working from 66. Well, how many people are disabled during that period? How many people retired early during that period? Because this labor participation rate counts people up to 65 years old or so. What if you retired at 62? Especially when you have so many baby boomers coming through in their 60s. You can't just take that number and say it's a real number. Anyway, also, you can't do it. Excuse me. So what is it? Well, it's harder than you can imagine. maybe the real unemployment rate is around 9.4%, down from 13.4% from the worst part of the recession. Okay? And why can that maybe be that? Because 6.6 million people who want a job or would consider getting a job can't find one. Now, we don't count those. The government doesn't count them when they stop looking for a job in 1 month. They don't count them as unemployed. But they really would want a job. So you try to get at the real numbers, and we're probably around 9.4% from a peak of about 13.4% at the depth of the recession. And it was 6.8%, that same number was 6.8% in 2000. So we do have a slack in our job market out there. We do. But don't, you know, listen to all these conservative and liberal pundits with a grain of salt, because they're always going to read the statistics that benefit their point of view. You need to think critically. Now, critically speaking, our job market is not as good as it should be, but it isn't that bad either. How about going to Greece? What are they? I think people, young people, is what, 40% unemployment rate? 40. I think Spain is 25% for young people. What's young people unemployment rate for us? And I don't really know. Kind of interesting, huh? Let's go to Vince in Fairfield. How are you doing, Vince?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for your program. Any stock that pays dividends.
Yes.
I was looking at that, and I think I'm investing, and I want to invest in dividend stocks. I only have money in tax-deferred accounts.
An IRA kind of account.
Yeah. Is it inappropriate to hold those inside an IRA? Or if you do hold them, can you ask your broker like Schwab or Scott to, when the dividend comes, put it in another account?
No, because it's an IRA. And any money you make in that IRA that you take out is a distribution from your IRA to you into another account. So they probably cannot do that without tax and penalty consequences.
But it is inappropriate, basically, I think, to hold that type of stock inside. A tax-deferred.
Why would it be inappropriate? I'm not sure.
Because when I pull it out, I'm paying a higher tax, right?
When you do pull it out, you'll be retired, and you're going to be paying tax on that money. But it pays a dividend to you. That dividend just goes into your IRA. What would make that dividend any different than any other dividend?
Well, if it was in a taxable account, I would be paying a 15% tax. But when I pull it out, I still might be paying 35%.
That's right.
Get out of an IRA.
You're exactly right. In a regular account, the dividend would be at a 15% capital gains tax rate. The idea, Vince, is when you're in retirement, your tax rate also will be low.
Well, it might.
But yeah, it might and it might not.
Right, so right. If it's higher than the 15, it's not a good situation to hold those within a tax-deferred vehicle, right?
That would be a reason not to hold them, yes. I don't know if I would not do it, but that is a reason to make it less attractive. Let's say it that way.
And I'm thinking correct. I think you need to be in the stock market to make money. Mm-hmm. But at my age, I'm trying to do it in a safe way. And I'm thinking that usually stocks that pay dividends are pretty good companies. They're going to be around. They don't fluctuate a lot. And that's a safe way to invest just as much as it would be being in bonds.
I don't think bonds are safe in some situations, unless you hold them to maturity and they're really high-grade bonds.
Right, but when you buy funds and things, that's
not. Yeah, that's more scary because the funds have maturity dates different all the time. So the NAV, net asset value of the bond fund, goes up and down. It could be very erratic.
That's correct.
So if you hold bonds themselves and hold them to maturity, they will eventually go back to their value and you get your yield. So if you have a proper spread of bonds, it would be a safer thing to do. When you say the word safe and you talk about stocks, I have trouble putting those two together. Safer, large cap stocks paying dividends, which you kind of alluded to, you could say those are safer than less risky might be a good word. Less risky.
It's less risk.
Less risk, yes. Thanks for the call, Vince.
Right,
appreciate
bye-bye.
It.
Thanks, Vince.
Let's get your questions answered today. We still have some time. 888-99-CHART is how you can get in touch with me right now. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. Take our risk test. The free risk analysis tool is private and it's free. It's simple. It only takes a couple of minutes. Just go to investtalk.com. You'll see it.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. If you live in the Bay Area, save the date, April 25th at the San Jose Hyatt House. It's our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference, The Real Rewards of Global Value Investing. How to find the good buys in foreign, domestic, and emerging markets. Sign up on InvestTalk.com. There's a $10 discount if you sign up by April 20th.
You're listening to an encore presentation of InvestTalk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next InvestTalk.
Let's go to Carlos in Stockton.
I'm 22 years old, have a pretty good job, and I've been interested recently in, like, e-trading. I really don't know nothing about it.
Yeah, online trading on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have money to play with, but, you know, I just don't know the steps, and I really don't know nothing about it.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. So you have to start to educate yourself a little bit. You know, anybody can go and buy a stock they heard about on TV, you know, or read about in a newspaper. But you'll be investing with a total lack of knowledge. You wouldn't know if when do you sell. You know, what stocks you should buy. You're buying stocks because someone else said it was a good stock and you're just buying it. That's not a good way to invest. You already made the first step, Carlos, by saying I have the interest. You have to start somewhere. And you're only 22. You're a young guy. You know, you're just now getting involved now. Peter Lynch has a pretty easy book to read. Okay, it's called Beating the Street. It's only about 200 pages. It's pretty simple. It tells you how he invests. It talks about invest in stocks that you know, like you're at the store and you see some product that you saw that is just selling like hotcakes, like maybe Nike tennis shoes or something.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about very, very fundamental, easy stuff to just pay attention to the things around you, and then you start there. That book is a very good book to start. It's a beginner book. It's by Peter Lynch, L-Y-N-C-H. As Beating the Street. It's a very, very good book for a beginner. And, you know, Carlos, come to our conferences. You just need to start listening to this show. You'll see that I'll talk about basics. And I'll tell you one thing, Carlos, that is true no matter what. Stocks go up if their earnings go up. I know it sounds simple. It really is simple. But there's so many stocks that people buy where they don't have any earnings or have any hope of earnings, or it's just a story that sounds good, but over the long haul, all stocks go up if their earnings go up. So they have to have their sales go up and their earnings per share. And everything's done in earnings per share. There's so many shares in the stock. You know, if it has a million shares, what is its earnings per share? It's $1 per share. If it makes $1 per share this year, it's going to make $1.20 per share next year, and it makes another $1.50 the year after, that stock will eventually go up because the earnings are going up. So there's just one cardinal rule. If I could beat that into your head, you will be successful over the long haul.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's start with the earnings. If earnings go up, then the stock will go up. And you can get that earnings almost anywhere on the net. Carlos, good luck and keep tuned into the station. And I think you'll pick it up. It just takes some time. That's all.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carlos. Have a great day.
Where to go when you only have a moment or two and you want to see what's going on in the investing world? You could go to one of those super sites with news by the pound, or you could go to InvestTalk.com. All the important stories on one page. Click to go deeper when you want to take the time. InvestTalk.com. It's not too much of a good thing.
Kevin, Tracy, how you doing, Kevin?
Good, good. I was just curious about what kind of programs you guys use to for a stock valuation.
Well, we have a number of systems that we use with various different calculations. And we try to give you a number, so we, you know, instead of a range, as close as we can. There's a very simple way if you want to do it yourself, which we use often just to see if there's a valuation. We take next year's earnings, figure out what that growth rate from this year, if it's going up 10%, 20%, and then multiply that times earnings per share. So if it's going up 20%, it's a $2 earnings per share, 20 times 2 is a $40 stock. It's a very simple way to evaluate a stock. to get a valuation. There's other things we use. We use interest rates. We use some pretty sophisticated formulas.
Yeah, and it depends on the company as well, whether it's a cyclical company or is it something that has a long-term steady trend that you don't really have to worry about the business cycle affecting its earnings dramatically. And then that's also very important because there's companies that are coming out of recession growing 40, 50%. But as the economic cycle, you know, kind of peters out or we go back into some sort of a dip in the economy, then that obviously will turn around quickly.
So it's much more complex than just saying, well, here's a stock and that is the valuation. There's a lot of things that go into it. Sector, interest rates, the mortgage, you know, a bunch of things. A bunch of things go into it.
Right.
So it's really difficult, Kevin.
What do you discount it at? Do you discount it at the S&P 500 or do you discount it at like a treasury fund?
Many of our calculations use the 10-year treasury, based on that. There's competition for money between bonds, U.S. treasury because it's ultra safe, there's no risk, and then risk, which is stocks. So we like to use the treasury. Kevin, appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everybody else at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today. Enjoy your weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.